Welcome to the True Elegance Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bome Akikube, also known as Dr. B. Through solo episodes and guest sessions, we delve into the timeless qualities of style, grace, and sophistication, and uncover what makes you truly elegant. So, sit back, relax, and let's get started on this empowering journey of becoming truly elegant. Hello, Elegant Tribe, and welcome to another episode of the True Elegance Podcast, where we talk about the character, confidence, and poise that makes us beautiful from the inside out. Today, I have in the guest chair an amazing guest who talks about encoding success and happiness in your DNA. She embodies resilience, rising from challenges to become a beacon of personal evolution. She has a lot of degrees in sociology, education, and language acquisition, and she's certified as a brain coach by Dr. Amin, a one-star elite neuroencoding specialist. Join me today in welcoming Coach Dominika to the True Elegance Podcast.
Hello, welcome, and it's my honor to be your guest. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Awesome. Well, welcome. And today I'm looking forward to talking about everything, brain coaching and neuroelegance and everything, because like we know, in whatever we do, everything starts from the mind. And of course, the mind is connected to the brain. So I'm super excited about this conversation today. But I'm going to let Dominika kick it off by sharing with us how she came along this path of working in brain DNA to find happiness and success in life.
Thank you for that question. And I think every one of us has a beautiful path. And every of those paths has its curves and has its downfalls and flat lines and everything else that comes with life. As some people say, life is life. And it was definitely life in for me. I lived in Poland when I was young, and that's where I first fell in love, had my son. And at 16 months, my son passed away from unknown causes. They are assuming it's SARS. He was 16 months, fell asleep, never woke up. And that's where basically my life started, where it was this, I was quite young, 20 and a half when he died.
Wow.
And the pain was enormous. It was unbearable. I mean, my skin hurt, my eyelashes hurt. And for about 3 years, I don't remember what happened. I was told that I used to try to walk under cars. I was not eating, not functioning. I was just in bed lying and crying, a severe depression. And at that time, neuroscience and psychiatrists and everybody else were really not a thing. So I would be at home. And then when I got out of that moment, I had this little light bulb moment. If I'm suffering so much, my mother would not survive this. I will take my life. I started getting out, went to a therapist, and life started happening. After a few years, I got married. I had my twins. I got divorced. And basically, I was going through the motions. You know, when you're like kind of living the way you're supposed to be living. And I was very depressive, plus I'm epileptic. So my nervous system was working very differently than everybody else's. I was extremely sensitive. And one day I woke up and I'm like, this cannot be life. If this is life experience, it sucks. There's no way life can be like this. And I started looking for ways to help myself. And like most people, I started with reading books. But as we know, stored knowledge does absolutely nothing. It's just stored. Libraries do not change the world. People who read the books and take activity on the books actually change life. And I was at that time also a coach for career coaching, working with C-level clients, making great money. And I was unfulfilled, unhappy, miserable, masculine, angry, frustrated. And it was just, it wasn't it. So I stopped doing what I was doing. And I looked at myself like, okay, what is the common denominator here? And to my surprise and high discomfort, let's say, it was me.
It was you, right?
Because it's much easier to say, oh, because he did this, oh, because she did this, oh, because they, because life, because my mother, because my father, because my life, whatever. And then you go, yeah, but the one thing that's common for all of them is me. So maybe it's me. So the journey started. I stopped coaching. I said, I need to reinvent myself. And I was about 30 to them. And I fell in love again. Then I parted ways. And then some other things happened where I lived in Europe. And then one day, new government came. And they literally shut the country down for people like me. We received phone calls saying, either you're going to speak politely and nicely about our new inventions, new laws in Poland, or, you know, you might just not find a job. Literally within 2 weeks, all media, and I was quite well-known expert, public media, radio stations, TV stations, they disappeared. I got on the list. So needless to say, I needed to take my bags and go to the US. Having sold my company, sold my house. I mean, it's just revolution because of the environment. And that was a blessing and a curse. Because while I was still processing what happened, losing everything, I didn't start from scratch, as a lot of people said. I started from experience. Remember, when you come and start your life from one point, and you already have experience, you're not starting from scratch.
Exactly.
You have things you can draw from. So while exploring that, I went to Tony Robbins events. You know, I started crewing his events and more courses. I hired myself a coach, which was a blessing. I discovered that what's amazing about that person that was coaching me was that they were taking things that are happening now. We were not dabbling in the past. Absolutely can't change it. But what we can do can change how we look at the past. But that was all great. That was all psychology. And as we know, psychology is studied, but it's not very, let's say, meaty. Because it is very flowy and it is based on perceptions, on beliefs. Right. And those are things that are not tangible.
Tangible, right.
And then one day I run into Dr. Daniel Amen, who is a neuropsychiatrist, double board certified, and works with all of our NFL players in America. And Dr. Joseph McClendon III, he has a PhD in neuropsychology. And those two neuroscientists came together and created something called Brain Revolution. That was almost 3.5 years ago. And I absolutely fell in love. I fell in love because I had science. I had tangible science and I had an organ. And what I've discovered is your psychology is the result of how your organ works. It's kind of like your heartbeat depends on quality of your heart.
Right.
Your thoughts, behaviors, emotions, beliefs depend on the quality of your brain. And your brain is an organ that can also repair itself. And there's something called neuroplasticity, where we can change how your brain is wired. We can change the wiring of our brain as adults, not only as kids, because we now know that we learn till the day we die. I'm able now to not only help you rewire your brain and change your perspective, but it's also based in science and years of studies. And it's based on your brain, on an organ.
Right.
And what's fascinating about this is that because when you merge this, the results come way quicker than if you just work with what are you thinking, what are you feeling? Because I don't know if you know, but every one of our feelings, and this will sound probably weird to you, is actually a chemical release.
Right.
That creates certain reaction in your body. So if it's a chemical release, and there's a whole process, whole wiring, we can change what's released, but we need to train ourselves to do that. And that's where it came from. That's exactly what I do.
Wow. That is so beautiful. Thanks for sharing and, you know, breaking it down like that. It's almost like I'm sitting in a neuro class, but, you know, it's not as complicated because sometimes you're like, what are these people talking about? But that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing your journey of resilience, because that's definitely what it is, you know. I just cannot imagine what it'll mean losing a 16-month-old. My heart goes out to you for that experience. And then having to, go through the other medical things you had going on, and then life, like you said, life in which life always does, life will happen. But, rising from those experiences to, of course, I won't say you've definitely reached the ultimate goal of where you want to be today, but just taking one step in front of the other to understand yourself better, transform from, because when I look at you today, you're definitely more radiant and vibrant than what you would have been in so many years back then. It simply shows that you've been going through that journey of improving yourself and learning and getting better on the journey of life. And I love what you said about starting from experience, because many times we feel we have to start from scratch, scrap everything, forget everything. But sometimes you really can't scrap everything. Of course, you can ask for help and maybe take some time away. But, learning from experience, like looking at what has happened in the past, what are the positive things we can pick out of it to move forward in our journey, leaving the negative and the traumatic experiences behind as much as we can, but looking forward to, okay, how can tomorrow be better than today? I think that is definitely something I'm going to hold on to from this conversation so far. And the power of coaching, looking beyond ourselves to others that can help us in our transformative journey and moving forward and everything. Yeah, thanks for sharing those. And, I want you to talk a little bit more about how we can work on our thoughts, emotions, and beliefs. You talked about that and walk through life. So I want you to talk a little bit more about
Absolutely. I love this topic. This topic is
that.
amazing because it merges all the achievements of humankind, and kind of allows it to dumb it down, simplify, because science is only fun if we can use it. That's my approach. If it's just science to be science, I'm not interested in, but if I can use it, that's absolutely amazing. So first thing I want to say is that when I do my brain coaching and I use the neuroscience, first thing I do, and I actually specialize in women about 30 to 55, is I look at their age. If you're in perimenopause or menopause, please take care of your hormones. They have direct line to your brain. And even I, with all my knowledge, I am on hormone replacement therapy because I'm in perimenopause. And those emotional swings, with all my knowledge, sometimes are uncontrollable. And with being on hormone replacement therapy, those feelings that we get, all of that is part of biology. So, first of all, we're going to embrace it and know that it's happening, and we're going to mitigate it. Second of all, I ask all my clients, because we've been trained by Dr. Amen, to look at 10 elements of blood work. Because in your blood work, you have something called a neurotransmitter. For example, vitamin, which is actually hormone D3, is a neurotransmitter. And what you get the results, you're being told that you're in the norm. And that's great. What would be even better if your blood work was optimum? Because what's in the norm for your body is not going to be in the norm for your brain. It's not going to be optimum. So let's say in America, the norms are between 30 and 100 for D3. Dr. Amen recommends that you're between 60 and 80, because only then that hormone gets to your brain and actually does what it's supposed to do. Otherwise, it just doesn't go through the blood-brain barrier. So we look at those things. Why? Because your brain is connected to everything. Your brain is not a separate thing that you keep in a jar at home. And if you do, I'm worried about you. Okay. So
Please don't keep your brain in a jar at home.
please don't. And if you do have somebody talk to you, you might need just some help. So we look at that. Then we look at your physiology, and not necessarily if you're skinny or you're obese or have muscles, but we look how you carry yourself. So notice that when you're walking down the street, you can tell who is down, who is feeling depressed,
Right.
but you never spoke with them. How
No.
would you know that? Well, our brain creates certain behaviors, and your muscles contract in a certain way. And people who are down, depressed, or angry have a certain body behavior.
Right.
So the signals are being sent to your body. One of the ways to reverse that, it is to change your posture and how you sit and how you breathe. There's also this phenomenal, if anybody's ever interested, it's a book for you would understand. I don't have a medical background. I have sociology background, educational background. I read that book freaking 3 times to understand it. It's called Heart Math.
Okay.
And they almost got a Nobel Prize because it
Wow.
turns out that there's another little brain in our heart. And that's why, because people go, oh, science, breath work, it doesn't, it does. Because when you breathe, you control the heart rhythm, and the heart rhythm controls the brain waves. And you can calm yourself down. So let's go with a simple pattern for your brain that will improve quality of your life that costs you absolutely zero.
Nothing.
When you wake up, I would love for you to have a glass of water the moment the ring of your phone comes. Why? Because water conducts electricity, and we need that energy to start running through your veins. I guarantee you that if the moment you open your eyes and drink a glass of water, you will not push the snooze button and you will not fall asleep. Number
Wow.
two, within 90 minutes of waking up, go outside for 15 to 20 minutes and expose yourself to sunlight. It helps the circadian rhythm. And it wakes your body up, and it does release cortisol, but the good cortisol that gets you going, gets you excited. Because cortisol overall is not good. We need cortisol, but we just don't need the constant release of cortisol. That is harmful. Cortisol on its own is great. Adrenaline is fantastic, just not 24/7. All of things that you're feeling, your body does is good. It's just that extremes are not what we're looking for. And then have your breakfast. Please have your breakfast. Make sure it's balanced. And what should be in the breakfast, I'm going to leave to nutritionists. That's not my expertise. Coffee is fine as long as it's not like I used to drink when I was young, 20 coffees a day. I'm Eastern European. We drink coffee like freaking water. I drink now one a day because I've learned how much harm it can do if I overdo it. Overall studies on coffee, Dr. Amen doesn't like coffee, but the truth is, coffee is not that bad. If you have one a day, you're perfectly fine. Nothing is going to happen. And then it's important to have some exercise. And it doesn't have to be strenuous. You can even get yourself a rebounder and jump. It is important also to have music for your brain that you enjoy, and that's uplifting. So if you're listening, Kill Them All or something like that, that's not the best idea. Don't listen to that. More like empowering music, I will survive and I'm thriving and life is amazing. What a beautiful day. Lyrics like that. Why? Because notice that even if you don't learn songs out of the blue, you know the words. Well, guess what? Your brain is picking up the information and storing. And whatever you feed it, that's how it works.
Beautiful.
I don't own a TV, not even one, my whole house. Why? Because what it feeds my brain, and I just recently deleted TikTok. Because what it feeds my brain gets me into states that are unresourceful, unhealthy. So, just FYI. And what's important in the evening is that you allow your brain to calm down. Now, some people say prayer, some people say meditation, both are great. But what is even more important is that 2 hours before you go to bed, do not watch TV, do not look at your computer, do not look at your phone, no scrolling. Why? Because blue light doesn't allow your brain to get the information that it's late. that it's time to go to sleep. And when that happens, you're tossing and turning. Also, the temperature of your body needs to drop 1 degree. So cool down your house for the night. Make sure you are actually chilly. I wouldn't say cold, but chilly. It helps your body to calm down and fall asleep. And if you want resourcefulness from your brain, ask your brain a question, what do I do? And then tell a story, whatever you're thinking about. And I'm saying this because most people don't know, but most people experience something called intuition. And they say, oh my God, I had an aha moment. Notice that if you're in the shower, driving a car, or waking up in the morning, you have the best ideas.
So true.
And that is because your prefrontal cortex is turned off. You're planning, analyzing, and projecting. This is the time when you're bored or relaxed or not engaged in anything that requires your prefrontal cortex. That's the moment your creativity kicks in. And when you're asleep and you ask the right questions, your brain turns down, right? It stops managing your whole body, all the stimuli that's coming your way, conversations, walking, talking, eating, planning. It shuts down. It starts cleaning everything up and it has time to go down into your deep memories. It works when you're asleep. And then it brings back the ideas that you wake up in the morning because it does the connections, because it has time and resources to draw from your experience. And that's absolutely phenomenal. And when we're in a shower, you're so relaxed. There's no planning usually. And you come up with brilliant ideas when you're on a walk, when you're doing absolutely nothing. You go, oh my God, I can do this. This is so cool. You just have those ideas. So that's what people used to call intuition, and it's actually your brain having time to do things for you, not just function. So that's brain and neuroscience. And because we know all of this, we get to reverse engineer. We make this work for you because your brain also, and I'm sure everybody heard about the reptile brain, primitive brain. Well, your brain is designed to optimize everything. Without you even choosing to optimize it, by the way, that's why you have some behaviors that you don't even know where they came from, or thoughts that you don't know where they came from. It just lumps everything together because it wants to conserve energy. And
Wow.
it does that so it can save you when the danger comes. The problem of that saving is that there are not many dangers that they're coming. And you keep optimizing. So anytime you say everybody, everything, everyone, no one, nobody, someone, sometimes, every time, etc. Those are lumping words. So there was a great training that I went to with Tony Robbins, State of Destiny. And we're in a room, 5,000 people, about 2,500 men and about 2,500 women from all over the world, every freaking continent, every color. And he asks this question. I will remember that forever. I'm using that in my trainings when I have men and women. And he goes to men, gentlemen, how many times have you done something and you know she's going to be upset and pissed off at you forever and will be reminding you till the day you die? How many of you have done something and you knew that's going to be the consequence? All men raised their hand. They knew the consequences. What was your outcome? Like, and they were like feeling uncomfortable because he called them out as a man. But then he went to women. And that was fascinating and heartbreaking. He goes, ladies, how many have been told by a mom, auntie, friend, sister that men should not be trusted? The whole room from all over the world raised their hands. And he goes, how are you expecting to build a healthy relationship if you start with zero trust? And that was so powerful because we as women have created a culture of lack of trust. And they're starting from a place where they're losing. And I realize, and this is a brain thing because it's passed on generation. And this comes in something called epigenetics, which I don't do, I just read about it. It's fascinating. It was a study done on a mouse. Actually, quite a few, but I like this one specifically because it tells a story. So they had a big mouse, and the big mouse, they they eat strawberries. And they brought in a strawberry. She was eating it for a while. And then they added into a strawberry a small energetic current, which would just sting her, right? It would hurt her, but it wouldn't kill her.
Okay.
So she tried a few times and she stopped eating the strawberry. Then she had kids. And then those little mice were running around. They put in a strawberry. They didn't touch the strawberry, although naturally they eat strawberries. And then they had kids and they put in a strawberry. And guess what? They didn't touch the strawberry.
Right, they wouldn't
But
touch
all
it.
the other mice who were not exposed to that current kept eating strawberries.
Wow.
And there's so much more. Our brain creates those patterns, and then you don't even know you're doing it. You don't even know that you're rolling your eyes, for example, unless you do. You don't even know that you withdraw. And notice that when people withdraw, we can feel the energy shift, right? So you don't realize you're doing things. And everything about brain coaching is kind, and we also know which part of your brain is deciding on what you do, how you think. So if you get stuck in thoughts, that's anterior cingulate. And there are specific exercises for that part of your brain so you stop getting stuck. If you procrastinate, it could be psychology, but it also could be how your brain is built. And we need to oxygenate the prefrontal cortex dorsal area. And we do that by learning how to juggle 10 minutes a day with three balls. Your procrastination will drop 30 to 40% within 3 months. Take medication.
That's
So
amazing.
culturally, we get programmed. There is a beautiful story I love to tell about bread. Do you know this story about bread or ham? Some people tell it as ham.
Okay. I'm not sure which one.
So when a mother is cooking ham and she cuts off the ends.
Oh, yeah. Some talk about the fish as well, the head
Yes.
of the fish and the
Yes. And then she puts it in, and the
pan.
girl goes, "Mom, why do you cut off the ends?" "Well, grandma did it. It tastes great. That's the way we do it." Then she goes to grandma, "Grandma, why do you cut off the ends?" "Well, because it tastes great, and that's how we do it." And then she goes to great grandma, who's watching TV, and she's, almost there going to the, magical world. And she goes, "Great grandma, why do you cut off the ends?" She goes, "Why does it taste better when you cut off the ends?" She's like, "It tastes better.
It's
What are you talking about?
better.
My oven was too small and my pan was too
Exactly.
small, so I had to cut off the ends." But we never question our ancestors, and they're lovely people, but they did the best they could with the knowledge they had at that time. And very often we repeat things that are absolutely not serving us.
That's true. Wow. This has been amazing. And as I'm sitting here, I'm like, Dominica is watching my reactions to know what I'm thinking right now. But it's so amazing breaking it down that way about how our brain, is, of course, it's constantly working and adjusting to who we are, what we're thinking. And some of it is, thoughts and things that have been ingrained from the past that we just keep carrying on and carrying on. And the beauty of just knowing that you can take little actions and do simple things like all the things you listed here, talk about drinking a glass of water. It's not that complicated. It's just about having it at the bedside before you go to bed. Going outside, of course, we know the powerful effects of sunshine and circadian rhythms and people that walk overnight and everything, it affects the brain and adjusting to everyday life and coffee, exercise, music. I love music. Like,
I have my special feel better playlist that I make sure that the words in that music, not only music, works for me and it puts the right things in my brain.
Yes, that is so important. Because I do too. Because when I hear some music, it just stays in my head. So I'm like, if it's something that is not serving me, I'm just not going to listen because for the next 3 days, it's constantly replaying in my head. And, just discovering how little things, and like you said, it's going to be different and unique for each person. So I know, for example, you talked about deleting TikTok or not having TV, and trust me, I can relate with that because when you think of all the craziness going on TV and TikTok and everything, if that's your way to delete it and not have it, yeah. But for some people, it might just mean, being aware of your screen time or having some form of accountability to, like, hey, you got to get up, you got to do this, and let's improve your daily life and everything. So, little changes, and that was one thing I read in your story about how little changes, little tweaks, little awareness of things does make a difference in our everyday life. You talked about deep breaths, sitting up. Posture, stepping away from the screen, and deep breaths just opening up your lungs, helping you to get in more oxygen, can be so calming and relaxing. Even closing your eyes, right? Gives
Oh,
a
there is a
sense of,
phenomenal thing with a brain we can do with mindfulness, because your brain doesn't know the difference between reality and fiction. And if your brain is constructed like most population, not everybody has that ability, but you can imagine things. I don't know if most your listeners know, but there are some people who cannot visualize anything in their head. And then we work with sound and kinesthetic elements. And because they don't see pictures, they literally don't. Their brain does not produce. My cat, Mr. Stripes. Hello, Mr.
Mr.
Stripes.
Stripes. I was like, what happened?
Yes.
Dominica is
He's the beautiful
disappearing.
pattern interrupt. So we work with the brain and we imagine things. And there's a phenomenal exercise, maybe one day I would show you, where we imagine things in a specific way and we talk about something. And especially food. And if you do it right and imagine it properly, and I walk you through it, you will start salivating. But there's absolutely no food. Your brain thinks it's eating, so it's producing saliva. And we can harness that power. And there's another thing that I will bring, because I think you were talking about little steps. There is a book called The Magic of Dreaming Big, Acting Small, and Achieving Success. And that is my book, but I'm talking about it because it teaches how to change your approach to life and get rid of overwhelm. And one of the key things from that book is celebration. Celebration is the most important part, because you prime your brain, you train your brain on what feels good. And when it feels good, your brain wants it more. If you just dismiss everything. Oh, yeah, I made a phone call to my client. Yeah, whatever. No, you got to celebrate it. I dance. I love dancing. I love movies, right? And music.
That's
But there are other
beautiful.
ways of celebrating, whatever that is for you. And it's not good job. Why? Because I want you to go back in your memory. How did you celebrate as a kid? And bring that back in exactly the same way. That's your natural way of being happy, joyful, and celebrating without the construction of our society. And when you start celebrating your tiny achievements, for somebody, it might be getting out of bed, right? For somebody, it might be not the big ones. Look at us. We celebrate graduating high school, maybe going to college, getting a job, getting a raise, getting divorced, maybe having kids, buying another house. And what, that's 10? 10 times in our life we celebrate, and
That's
we live
too
80
little.
years. That's pathetic. That's not even bad. That's not even once a year.
We need to do
So
more.
we don't need to. We have to for our brain, because TikTok, what it does, it allows you for the pleasure center to be activated. So you're sitting then and scrolling and getting instant gratification, and you keep doing more and more of it. But it's not serving you. So what the book teaches is to allow you to learn how to celebrate, and we can learn that from men. And there's a great example in there how we can learn that from men, because there's one time in their life when they haven't lost the joy of tiny successes that they celebrate. And that's when they're watching sports. Notice that nobody won yet, and they're acting like the whole world has
Like
just
nobody won
jumped.
yet.
Yeah, it's like he passed the ball. They're
I
going,
know, they
whatever.
celebrate every move, right?
And guess what? After 4 hours or 2 hours of that game,
Jeez.
they walk away satisfied. This, no matter what the result was, we need, as women especially, we need to learn that from men. Because
Wow.
imagine how amazing your life would be if you would teach your brain to celebrate the fact that you cooked dinner, the fact that you put away the dishes. No, it is. You have a choice. You don't have to do it. It's
Right.
expected by society, but the truth is, you don't have to do anything. And imagine celebrating the fact that we got on a show. I got up at 7, you got up at 8.
I know,
We had a
right?
chat, right? Let's
Yay, we
celebrate
made
it.
it.
And let's do the breastitude, right?
Oh
Because
my goodness.
joy in your body means joy in your brain. The
Right.
truth is, if we wouldn't enjoy intimacy, there would be no humans in the world. And at least not enough to populate.
Right.
So we seek out things that are enjoyable. And wouldn't life be much better if we would concentrate on the little achievements and enjoy them?
Yes, it
Because
will.
enjoyment is a counteractive measure for cortisol and permanent
Right.
stress. But we need to relearn that,
Wow.
retrain our brain, retrain our body, and allow ourselves to enjoy the little things, especially that activity is much more important than action, because
Right.
that is coming back to what you said, resilience and grit. There's no resilience and no grit without activity that is constant and repetitive and usually very minute and small.
Wow. That is beautiful. Oh my goodness. That is beautiful. I love that. So the magic of dreaming big, acting small,
And
and
achieving
achieving
success.
success. Yeah, we need to link that in this episode today. Wow, what a beautiful time. Like it's almost like no cares in the world. Let's just stay on this podcast for the next 12 hours. Thank you, Coach Dominica, for such a heart-lifting, heartwarming session with you today. This is one episode that should be on repeat, like virtually every morning to build off the day and make it beautiful. And as we wrap up today, I just want you to give some closing remarks, on everything we've talked about, a summary for our audience, and then we'll go on to talk about how they can stay connected with you.
Dear lovely women that are listening and watching, you are absolutely amazing. Your brain can change. What you have is not permanent. Your past does not equal your future. Being feminine is powerful. Being masculine is a mask. So if you are one of those women who are striving in life and being like me in the past, more masculine than Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone put together. Trust me, femininity is amazing. And allow your brain to enjoy life. Life doesn't have to mean stress, life doesn't have to mean frustrations. And everything you feel is valid. And you get to decide how much of what you want to feel and for how long. And that is where you have your power. Because life is exactly what you're there to make it.
Wow, beautiful. Thank you so much, Coach D. That was amazing. Erin, thank you for sharing, and what a beautiful session we've had today. And before we wrap it up, can you share with our audience how they can stay connected with you?
Absolutely. Please join me on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Your Brain Coach D. You can also find me on LinkedIn under my first and last name, Dominika Staniewicz. And you can also find me on YouTube, which is Your Brain Coach D. If you want to watch little educational videos, they're there. But definitely, please join me. Also, there is an amazing club coming for women that are business
Okay.
women and have been in business for over 3 years. I want to merge the beautiful knowledge we got from men and the science who got them and merged them with femininity.
Okay.
And it is coming up. It's going to be called Leading Ladies Club.
Wow.
So coming up soon. So keep watching the page on Instagram.
Awesome.
Because it's going to be an amazing community where we embrace what we have been given and we merge our feminine approach to management and running companies and running our lives.
Beautiful. Wow. That sounds so exciting and amazing too. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today. And we'll be sure to include all those links and information in the show notes. Have an amazing day.
You too. Have a beautiful weekend and enjoy and celebrate.
Yes. Yes, we did it.
Be sure to subscribe so you'll be the first to be notified of every new episode. Leave a review and share this podcast with that elegant lady in your life. This is a space where we can come together to empower and inspire each other and leave feeling elevated and enlightened. See you in the next episode.